Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck.
Just whistle while you work. And cheerfully together we can tidy up the place. So I'm a merry day. It won't take long when there's a song.
Once upon a time, music helped Snow White and her friends get the job done. These days, her co-workers might ask her, politely, to put a sock in it. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today, the controversial role of music in the workplace. Plus, percussionist Zakir Hussain. He's played with India's greatest musicians, starred in movies, and launched a music label. Today, he'll play live in our studio. But to begin, when you're at work, you might encounter music in different ways. You might plug headphones into an iPod, you might listen to your computer speakers, or someone else's. You might even tune your radio to your favorite afternoon music talk show. Sounds harmless enough, right? Well, despite research that indicates that music can boost productivity, some companies enforce strict policies against iPods and headphones. We want to hear how you and your coworkers use music at your job. But we begin with two guests. Gary Burton is a radio host and music reporter who's worked for BBC Music and other stations. He's with me here in the studio. And on the line is Judith Glazer, the CEO of Benchmark Communications and an organizational coach who works with Fortune 500 companies. Judith, welcome to Soundcheck.
It's great to be here today on this rainy day.
You know, it seems that everybody loves music. Why is this so controversial? Why is this a big problem?
Well, first, the reason why everybody loves music is that music, if we're given our personal space to create the way we like it, music actually is so hooked into the brain, at the part of the brain where pleasure lives, that it is something that people strive to bring into their life as much as possible. It just does something to help create that sense of connectivity when we're alone to others. And music, it has the vibe. It gives us the vibe, and it feels good.
And Gary, is that why, you know, what little evidence there is out there sort of points to music enhancing productivity?
I think it is, yeah. I think everybody has an idea that music is a mood enhancer of some kind. But the problem is it's very subjective, of course. So, you know, I know somebody who works in an advertising agency, for instance, where they're very cool, they're very trendy, they like to listen to Leonard Cohen or Tom Waits or something like that while they're working. I know other people that would drive absolutely crazy while they're sitting at their desk, and they want kind of upbeat music, then we'll listen to Christina or Beyonce, that kind of music. And you know, it's one man's meat is another man's poison.
Judith, why would employers just enforce a wholesale ban on playing music in the office, even through headphones or iPods?
We have a client who actually is part of a very large publishing conglomerate, and at the time when everybody was saying, let's do Dress Down Fridays, they actually banned Dress Down Fridays. So you can imagine music would really take them over the edge. and they believe it's distracting. Just like they said, if people wear jeans to work, then their state of mind is a jean state of mind. And all of a sudden, the assumption is that they're not going to get productivity out of their people, and they can't put that hard edge to drive people when you're out there, you know, listening to music and having a good time.
If there were some kind of scientific study that showed, you know, a 10, 15, 20% increase in productivity when people do use music, do you think your client would change their mind?
It's interesting you should say that. Some of the early research that we did when I was still doing my graduate fellowship was to bring music into, now again, this is in a nursery school or young children's environment, which some could say is not that different from a corporate environment.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually used music and took things that we wanted to teach them. It started with the alphabet, then we started to put stories and content, really, you know, in-depth information. And believe it or not, their ability to remember and recall that information zoomed up to 100% of what it was without music.
So basically they were doubly good at it when you added music to it.
Exactly. They could almost recall, some of the kids could actually recall what they were listening to, and the depth of what they could recall was greater by far than if there was no music. So there's something here that people could take away as learnings in the workplace.
Right.
And so we've actually, there's places where we have used music really, really successfully.
Like what?
So we should talk about that. We do offsites with leaders, leadership offsites, team offsites, times when we get people to go out of the workplace, go someplace where it's a beautiful, you know, separate from work, to think new things together, to actually accelerate new types of neural networks in their brain and connections to ideas and things that they never thought would be possible. And we absolutely use it for that purpose.
How many, I mean, in among the Fortune, I realize you work with some Fortune 500 companies, not all of them, but of the ones, you know, the major, these big companies that are turning over huge amounts of money, by and large, are they the type that would go in for this sort of thing, or are they the ones who are saying, we're not crazy about casual Fridays and we don't want you playing music in your office?
The same people that will not allow music to be played in their everyday offices are the people that allow us to do that when we take them to offsites.
Wow.
So the conditions, you know, are completely different. The rules of the game are different. I mean, if we want to put on Paco Bell while we're asking them to envision the future, you know, so we'll pick a beautiful piece of music that gets them into a serene place of mind and think about what they want their companies to be like, you know, 10 years from now or 20 years from now. That music is a facilitator of innovative thinking and seeing the future in a new way. Same company that would say absolutely not in our workplace.
Weird.
Yeah.
And also weird that you would mention Paco Bell. Gary, I don't know what your experience with the BBC, et cetera, has been, but, you know, back in the Stone Age here at WNYC, we used, overused, abused the poor Paco Bell canon to the point where that would send me running for the door if someone played it here in the office.
Well, that comes back again to the idea that it is very subjective. I mean, who is going to be the person who dictates, if you're in a workplace, a regular workplace, and music is allowed, for instance, and say it's a production line, a factory situation, you still have to make a choice of what kind of music might be played. And talking about old radio days, we used to have to go we used to delight in going to visit some of our listeners. And you would go and there would be a crowd of people who would listen to the type of station that you were broadcasting from. But there would also be another crowd right in the far corner who wouldn't come near you because they liked another kind of music to that which you were playing. So there were little factions within the factory floor.
Mm-hmm. And music in the workplace actually came up last night on the NBC sitcom The Office when Dwight, played here by Rainn Wilson, torments his co-worker Jim, who also happens to be a new father.
And I'm actually pleased to be able to offer you printer cartridges and toner now.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah.
Jim, sorry to bother you.
What?
My headphones are broken.
Right.
Can I listen to my music at a low volume?
That's great. Great.
Okay?
Yeah.
The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy.
When was the last time you upgraded the printer?
When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know.
Oh,
when.
You stop that.
We'll be
stop
together
it.
Then.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to have a good time.
Well, whether it's. Whether it's this time or the next time.
The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
Yeah.
Little boy blue and the man in the moon.
No, we can definitely talk about it next time. You know what I'm talking about?
That's... It has to be said that they never seem to get much work done in that office anyway, do they?
that's a really, I mean, it's funny, but like so much else in the office, it's like really hitting way too close
to home,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because it's not just you're listening to music and the person at the desk next to you is listening to your music willy-nilly.
Well, there's the opposite effect as well. Sometimes it can appear very, very antisocial. If you're sitting there wearing headphones, for instance, and you're in an office environment where people do need to communicate with you, you get the situations a lot where people are listening to their different types of music through their PCs, and they're IMing each other for their meetings. They're actually talking to each other online, but listening to different sorts of music while they're working.
Now, does that boost productivity?
I'm not sure about
that. Soundcheck listeners, we want you in on this conversation. Tell us, what do you think about music in the workplace? What has your experience, that of your coworkers? If you're an employer, what do you think about music that your employees might use or not in the office? Leave a comment at wnyc.org/soundcheck. We'll check in the control room to get some comments for you in just a moment. But Judith, to come back to Gary's point that he was just making about, you know, the fact that if you're listening to your own music in your own personal space, you know, you're under pod, you've got your headphones on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do for the work environment when you have sort of withdrawn from the office, in a sense?
It, It's fascinating to watch that kind of behavior because right now we have such a big thinking around connectivity. I mean, people use their Blackberries at work to connect to each other. They can be in the same room and they start to, you know, noodle them and talk to each other around the conversation that's taking place. So connectivity is higher and higher as we go forward, and that's like rejection. That's social rejection right out. You know, I'm into my own thing and I'm not part of what's going on here. And people sometimes use it that way to pull away. You know, to go into a private zone and not have to deal with what's going on in the office. And so even if it's not for that reason, sometimes people project that story on top of a person, and all of a sudden they become, you know, they start to get labeled in very odd ways.
So there are good sides and bad sides to music in the workplace. I mean, people love music. They don't necessarily love your music.
Right,
they don't necessarily love this particular kind of music at this particular time of day. There are many, many ways to approach this. And let's go into the control room where our producer, Joel Meyer, has been checking out what some of our Soundcheck listeners have suggested on the comments page. Joel?
John, some days we have a clear side that people are taking, but people are all over the map on this issue. Kelly from Beverly, Massachusetts, left a comment about an hour ago. Kelly wrote, "I work at a small record company, and the room is never silent. Currently, I'm listening to Leonard Lopate, and I can hear my coworker at the other end of the office putting some quality Nirvana on rotation. Toby doesn't like music at the office. He writes, it can be distracting, especially if someone else's music is at a volume just on the edge of hearing it." And then there are the nuanced point of views that are coming in. Evan is a little torn, but he recalls a scary encounter with Celine Dion and Puffy coming from his coworker speakers. And Estelle from Austin writes, "If I'm writing, then listening to anything with a verbal element is distracting. If I'm working on something visual or physical, I almost have to listen to something with a verbal element, either music or news."
Wow. Now, that's a really interesting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, anybody who's ever hosted, like, a radio show late at night, as I have here at WNYC, has gotten lots of calls and letters and emails from people who are visual artists, architects, people who are visually engaged and who want and need that kind of aural, that audio engagement at the same time. What about people who are at a computer and are typing and are trying to, you know, deal with their own words?
I think if you're doing something like creative writing of some sort, it is very, very distracting to have something that's particularly lyrically heavy. I suppose that might be a bit of a given, really. One of the points there raised by the listener, Toby, was interesting, where he said that when you can just hear music leaking through, that's one of the worst. You know how sometimes when you're sitting on the subway and you hear somebody's music leaking through, and that's really distracting because you're kind of trying to either avoid it or work out what it is they're listening to, and that's really drives you crazy. There's been some interesting findings in the area of sports psychology as well, which might be worth just bringing into the conversation, just because it's been proven with runners, for instance, when they've done studies, that they have, you know, a 10%, they're feeling 10% less like they're working hard, but they're actually producing 20% more in terms of output. So I don't know if that has the same thing when you're in the workplace, but certainly, you know, there's lots of images of you know, the locker room before the game and the guys with the headphones on getting pumped and psyched for the game, listening to their own music. I wonder if that also has some work in the workplace.
Well, the idea of runners, I mean, you know, we've actually done some shows on this. The idea of the body entraining itself to the rhythm of the music can be a really kind of powerful natural stimulant, and there are studies that bear that out. There are also anecdotal stories galore, and let's get some from our Soundcheck listeners. David, on the line with us from Brooklyn. David, where do you work, and what's the music like there?
Hi, John. Up till about September, I had a small cafe in Park Slope, and I would go in first thing in the morning and put on WNYC, and as soon as I turn around and walk out the door, I knew that the station was getting changed to either pop music or something otherwise.
So you had good taste, but your staff not so much, is the story you're telling us.
They were being cultured. I think they learned something over time.
You make your staff sound like yogurt.
I often thought it would be great to have the whole staff do meditation before actually starting service.
Uh-huh.
So we'd be almost on the same playing field. But it really speaks to the subjectivity of the music or whatever's being played in the workplace. Because if I walk in and put on music, it was definitely going to be different than most of the staff who were in their 20s, and I'm in my 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the place of music in a restaurant, for example? Years ago, every restaurant was playing the Gypsy Kings, and it was so ubiquitous. Now it's you know, across the board, anything goes. But music is kind of like a piece of furniture in some people's minds, where it should be there but not be noticed.
Mm-hmm. And with you being maybe a generation older than a lot of your employees, how did you guys settle on something to listen to when you were actually there in the store?
So long as it wasn't something that I felt was going to be offensive to customers, especially once it came in with small children, I let it go very often because it helps the morale.
Okay.
In the workplace.
David, thanks very much. Let's move on to Chris, who's joining us from Bridgeport, Connecticut. And Chris, what's the working environment you're going to tell us about?
I used to work in a kitchen, and I worked with a couple of guys who were from South America, and we really didn't speak much. They didn't speak much Spanish, but they used to put on manchata music, and we both used to groove to it. The tempo was great, and it really facilitated the work that we were doing, and we sort of bonded over it. It was nice.
So even though they didn't speak much English, you didn't speak much Spanish, you felt like there was something going on.
Right. We couldn't speak much, you know, during the entire day, but we could both nod our heads to the music and beat and sort of, like, bond over that.
Judith, you know, what about, you know, we talked a little bit about how music in the workplace can affect a mood. Can it affect a mood of more than one person? You know, can it affect a kind of a group mood?
Well, this is what's so fascinating. There's a we talked about it a little bit earlier. One of our brains. We have five brains, actually, not one. And one of our brains is the heart brain. And the heart brain actually responds to rhythm. It responds to when you're upset and angry, and you may not like music and so forth, you start to get a static rhythm in your heart. But when you're really grooving into something and it feels good, you go into what's called a coherent rhythm pattern. And that actually impacts how the brain works. So when people are in a room together and they do groove together in the same kind of music and their hearts go into coherence, it actually spins off some types of dopamines and things in the brain that actually cause people to feel bonding together, and mm-hmm. It has a memory to it for us. We like it. And so when we get together with these people, again, even though the music is not there, we've had this nice release of chemistry, oxytocin, which is another thing that gets released, a hormone, and that's what causes that feeling of bonding and the tribal feeling with people. So, yes, it does. It cascades throughout a workplace if you can find the right kind of music.
Well, apparently they found the right kind of music in that kitchen in Bridgeport, Connecticut, but Lewis in Suffolk County perhaps has a different song to sing for us. Lewis, what's your experience been?
Well, I've been an electrician in the industry for about 30 years now, and 9 times out of 10 on a construction site, it's basically classic rock. And to have to listen to Stairway to Heaven 5 times a day is sometimes over the last 30 years can get distracting. And at this point, fingernails on the blackboard. And usually on construction sites, construction workers feel that the rules don't apply as far as loud radios. So the radios, I've noticed, over the years have gotten bigger and bigger, but they're still playing the same music.
Do you find it, this is a safety issue, isn't it? I mean, if you're distracted.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely, especially as an electrician, because you may have your hands someplace where it could be a little dangerous, and, you know, when, like, it's more than a feeling comes on again, it's like...
You start air guitaring.
And I've heard it an hour before and right before lunch, and when I started the day, the same song. It's, to me, it's outside of your show and Leonard Lopate's show, which is, to me, classic radio. But that's the sad state of New York radio, in my opinion.
All right, well,
classic rock on construction sites. It's just bad.
Be safe out there, Lewis. Thanks for the call. Kristen joining us in Brooklyn. Kristen is a massage therapist. Kristen, how important is music to what you do? Kristen? All right, you know what? Let's check in. We'll get to Kristen in a moment. Let's check in with Joel Meyer once again, our producer in the control room, see what some of the comments are reading like. Joel?
Well, we have some warnings on the site, John. A listener who goes by the initials SM writes, headphones should be required in office environments. Inevitably, most of your coworkers have terrible taste in music. JP from New Jersey writes, you're in big trouble if everybody doesn't like the same music. I've actually seen fistfights break out over this. Jim from Yonkers brings up something we were talking about earlier, John. You had mentioned Pachelbel's Canon and how overused it is. Jim from Yonkers emailed us an MP3, and he writes, perhaps John Schaefer is unfamiliar with Christine Lavin's Taco Bell Canon. So I'll be looking forward to listening to that, John. And finally, Thomas from Brooklyn brings up an interesting point. He writes, being in an open office environment can be difficult to get work done with instant access to a person who is busy. Sometimes I wear headphones just to be left alone, but it brings up an interpersonal issue. How do you work as a team with someone who's wearing headphones all the time?
Right, and as Judith told us, and Gary mentioned it too, you know, there is that kind of perceived, even if you don't intend it that way, this perception that you are withdrawing from the group when you're listening on headphones, and you're in your own little cocoon, your audio cocoon.
Yes, and it can be quite... It can be quite divisive as well, I think, in that you've got different people obviously listening to different sorts of music, but then also there's the thing between the staff and the boss. There's a kind of them and us situation mm-hmm. as well, and that watching the clock for the 5 o'clock, 5:30 when the boss is gone, and then cranking the music once the back is turned.
Back to the classic rock. All right, we've got Kristen back on the line from Brooklyn. As I mentioned, she's a massage therapist. And Kristen, how important is music to what you do?
It's very important. It helps with relaxation, and it's lovely for the therapist in passing the time because it flows better when you have some music to listen to. But I have some clients who work as composers or perform on Broadway and Broadway shows, and they need silence because they feel like it's a day at the office to be lying on the table listening to music they can't help but analyze. What's going on?
So, do you ask before each session?
I do. Yes, I do. I mean, well, when I work at a 5-star spa, and the music is piped in, and basically we can give them an option of the genre or silence. Mm-hmm. But with the spa, I have an iPod, and I can give them a wide variety of selections. And often people will just say, "Well, what's good for you?" But sometimes I do have people who really want specific, music without lyrics or silence.
But left to your own devices, for you personally, you like music there in the office. It helps.
I do like music. It helps the massage flow better. I get into a rhythm with it, and it sort of transports you to another space that I feel is very good for connecting to the client as well.
All right, Kristen, thanks very much. There's another comment I want to read to you. This is from Dave on Wall Street. Dave writes, I was actually fired from a job that I loved for playing a song. A coworker and I were putting together a soundtrack for an office party, and I thought that since she was a Broadway fan, she would be amused by Avenue Q, which I had in my iTunes. I played the song If You Were Gay, not realizing that she was, and she made a sexual harassment complaint based on my playing the song. I was dismissed, despite there being no other evidence of sexual harassment to her or by any other employee. So be careful what you play, even if you think the other person will like it. Wow, what a cautionary tale.
Well, of course, I mean, there are just the odd song that might be just a chart song. If you get a version of it on an album, for instance, it can have profanity in there, so you might not be always aware that that's what you're subjecting your fellow workers to.
A song that you thought was a cute innocent song on the radio, you buy the explicit version unknowingly off of iTunes, right. And All right, so we all like music. We like music in the office, but it's not as simple as that. And we've been talking about the issue with a lot of our Soundcheck listeners and with Gary Burton, radio host and music reporter who's worked for BBC Music et al., and Judith Glazer, an organizational and executive coach, the CEO of Benchmark Communications and author of the book, The DNA of Leadership. Gary, Judith, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today.
You're welcome. Terrific. Thanks. A lot of fun. Thanks.
Your mind, and they never give you credit. It's enough to try. Up next, we received a surge of feedback from listeners after a recent discussion of cover albums. Find out why in a moment. And later, a live performance from the leading player of India's classical drums known as the tabla. Zakir Hussain will join us to play live in our studio, coming up on Soundcheck.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
Here at WNYC, most listening is done through headphones. That's how we avoid the biggest problem with music in the workplace. It may make your workplace more hospitable and maybe even increase productivity, but only if you don't hate the music you're listening to.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
You're listening to an encore edition of Soundcheck.